You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
To Zephaniah, son of Cusha, the son of Geldiah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. When I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worshipped in this place. The very names of the idolatrous priests, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and those who swear by Molech, and those who turn back from following the Lord, and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the days of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated them. He has invited those he has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's son and all those who clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who will fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. Skipping down to verse 12. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on the dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. Though they build houses, they will not live in them. Though they plant vineyards, they will not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. And then jumping to verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on earth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Today we start a new series called Hope Remains. It's the book of Zephaniah. It tells us that Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah, from 640 to 609 BC in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. We can begin to pinpoint exactly when Zephaniah prophesied by accounting for a few details in the text. First, in chapter 2, verse 13 of Zephaniah, if you turn there, you will see that the prophet predicted the fall of Nineveh, an event which occurred in 612 BC. Farther, Zephaniah made frequent quotations from the law. For example, you can compare chapter 1, verse 13 to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 30 through 39. All this you can do later. I'm just kind of flying through the introduction of Zephaniah, a document that remained lost in Judah for much of Josiah's reign. Therefore, Zephaniah more than likely prophesied in the latter part of Josiah's rule, after the king discovered the scrolls of the law in 622 BC. That's found in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 3 through 7. This all means that Zephaniah grew up under the reign of Josiah's predecessor, Josiah's grandfather, the evil king Manasseh, and Manasseh's son, the young and evil Amon. As a young man, the prophet-to-be would have been surrounded by the trapping of idolatry, child sacrifice, and unjust killings, strong influences on a young mind. But Zephaniah grew into a man of God, able to stand before the people and proclaim God's message of judgment and hope to a people that had gone astray. So, how do we apply Zephaniah? It's the most unknown book in the entire Bible. In fact, one speaker said in the internet today, I did a Google search on Zephaniah, and one speaker said he spoke to 2,500 to 3,000 people one day, and he did a message on Zephaniah, and he asked, how many people have heard a message on Zephaniah? And out of that 2,500 to 3,000 people, only two raised their hands. It's not a well-known book. But here's what Charles Swindoll says in the midst of a lot of things that are not going right. Those living in Judah had turned to the worship of God into a fiasco. Not only had they built their own places of worship to revere other gods called high places in the Old Testament, but they had begun to desecrate the temple, which at the time was the dwelling place of God. As a modern-day believer in Christ, Chuck Swindoll says, we too make a mockery of worship when we live in open sin. Do you come before the Lord with a false face, week in and week out, looking the part without acting it? Allow Zephaniah to remind you in these next couple of weeks as we look at the book of Zephaniah how seriously God takes your life. Every single one of you. And your relationship with Him. And if you have failed Him, remember the message of Zephaniah chapter 3, which we're going to cover at the end of this sermon series, which we will get to soon enough. God is always a God of restoration and hope. Let's look at it. The key to this book is in this phrase, and you're going to read it several times as you're reading the book. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. It's a common phrase used in prophetic books like Zephaniah, a minor prophet. Used it more than any other prophet. He used it more than any other prophet. It is the Lord's day for people. The day He executes judgment. The end of the world, if you would allow me to say that, both to His people as well as the surrounding nations. God has been patient. God has been giving them warnings after warnings after warnings. That's the nation of Israel. But there will come a day when sentencing is due, and God will act. The book does not reveal exactly when that day will come, and we know in the New Testament, Jesus is pretty clear, not even I know the day. But it paints a shocking picture of what is involved. God will visit earth with His wrath. No one can escape it. The warnings are specific to Judah, Jerusalem, but cover the surrounding nations too. Those who are determined to stay on the wrong, to sit on the fence of complacency, and in their defiance of God will have to face the music, according to Zephaniah. Sadly, despite all these warnings, the Israelites, like a lot of us sometimes, remained complacent and indifferent and believed three untruths that we may believe today. Here's the first untruth. The first lie is they believed was that it doesn't matter who you worship. Let's look at verses 4, 5, and 6. Here's what it says. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in this place. the very names of the idolatrous priests, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and who also swear by Molech, those who turn back from the following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to be shared, and the whole thing about Baal is that he's being shared, and you can see in these verses that he is destroying everything about it. Now, we can be quick to say this isn't happening in 2020. And that statement might be fine, except it isn't true. How many people worship so many other things than God? How many people listen and are affected by people other than God? Don't hear me wrong. We are supposed to listen to others and heed warnings, etc. However, sometimes it can go beyond just listening to almost worshiping people instead of God. Take a look at the very real list of things that Zephaniah speaks about in these scripture passages. For instance, look in the second half of verse 4 and verse 5. He speaks of religious error. There's religious error going on in this nation, in the nation of Israel. In the second half of verse 5, he speaks of disloyalty to God. And he says, I'm going to wipe it away. I'm done with it. And then in the first half of verse 6, he talks about apostasy, which is those who walk away from the Lord. After knowing and tasting his goodness, they choose to walk away from him. And he has a judgment for them. And then last, in the second half of verse 6, he talks about practical atheism, those who just don't even believe that God is there. For years, they have been, quote, worshiping the Lord in Israel while giving their allegiance to many others. It's almost like shady maple. What's a buffet have to do with Zephaniah? What's a buffet have to do with Zephaniah is that it's like, you know, well, I don't want this on the buffet of God. I don't want his justice. I don't want him to challenge me to grow. So I'll go over here and pick this from Baal. That will make me feel good even though I'm sinning and even though I could care less and I'm hurting God's heart. And so it becomes a buffet. We start choosing what we want of God and what we don't want of God. And then all of a sudden, we're caught in the same place that Israel's caught. Judah's caught. We're choosing and picking, and that's what Baal was. Baal wasn't one god per se. It was a bunch of different gods inside of this one god that they worshipped. And so they looked at him, and they you know, Zephaniah is coming along as the prophet, and he's saying, listen, you're not allegiant to God alone. You're not allegiant to this cross alone. You're allegiant to whatever your itching ears desire. If you want this, you can go to Baal and get that. If you want this, you'll go to the God of Abraham and get that. If you want this, you'll go to this God and get that. And that's not allegiance. And Zephaniah is pretty clear. So what's the truth that counteracts this untruth? It's the truth that God does not want to be shared. Listen to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Speaking in the Ten Commandments, what does God say there in the verse 3? He says, you shall have no other gods before me. He has no time for the gods. Other gods. And in 2020, it looks different. It's not always a golden idol. Sometimes it can be a job. Sometimes it can be money. Sometimes it can be a church. Sometimes it can be whatever it might be in your life. Zephaniah is talking very straightforward, and he's saying, listen, friends, God doesn't want to be shared. Here's the next untruth. The second untruth they believed was the Lord would do nothing. Let's look at verse 12. Here's what it says. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like a vines left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. In order to understand this winemaking illustration here in Zephaniah, we have to understand winemaking. And so let me go through this with you, as I was not aware of some of the things before studying for this message. In the winemaking process, fermented wine has to be poured from one vessel to another in order for the wine to separate from the sediment, which is called the dregs, talked about in verse 12 in this verse. This is all about timing, because if the wine sits too long, it thickens and gets ruined. So the metaphor here is those who have lived on their prosperity, who have sat too long and since have defiled themselves. They believe the lie that God has nothing to do with me. Having all that I have, I earned every bit of it, and therefore God doesn't deserve a thing in my life. The issue here is that while many people acknowledge God, they certainly don't give him the lordship of their lives. In the way they live and in the way they treat each other, and then the list goes on. And this charge that Zephaniah is bringing is saying, God is not an absentee God. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. So in verse 12, he uses this wine illustration to challenge us. And he says, are you like those who sit on their prosperity, on their jobs, on their whatever, and become complacent? And Zephaniah says, listen, there's some people in Israel that in Judah and in other nations that have just been doing this for way too long. And God is sounding the alarm. And he's saying, someday it'll be all taken away and you will stand on nothing. But here's the next truth that counteracts that. God is very concerned about your life, and he wants the best for you. The goal of these judgments, and this has to be said because we're going to be in these judgments for at least next week, and then after that we get out of these judgments and we get into some restoration and hope. But the goal of these judgments was not to hurt the people. Sure, it was hard for Zephaniah, I'm sure, to stand up and say, listen, you guys either get your spiritual act together or God is coming in judgment. But this isn't the goal to hurt people and tear them down, but to bring them to restoration and hope. That's the goal of these judgments. Sometimes we're quick to relate these things to people that we know. And so when I was reading this, I was like, woo, Zephaniah, you're burning them. You're like putting them in their place. Yeah, you give it to them, Zephaniah, but the goal isn't to give it to them. The goal is that these people will hear the word of the Lord, hear the warnings of the Lord, and they will be flat out just changed by the words and shown restoration and hope. The goal is never to leave people hanging out there. The goal is never to step on toes. Just like preaching. Now, sometimes people will come out of sermons from time to time and they'll say to me, "Pastor, you know, you don't have to step on the tops of them. I already got the bottoms of them wore out." The goal isn't when I prepare a sermon to step on toes. The goal isn't to look at the sermon and say, "How can I really burn so-and-so?" The goal is, as one book put it in my seminary time, the goal is to shake the gates of hell when you preach a sermon. And then boats and toes will be stepped on. Boats will be roughened up. Waves will happen. People will move if you shake the gates of hell while you're preaching. See, what happens when you preach for stepping on toes and getting to people's hearts, and Zephaniah, if he's doing these prophecies to hurt people, it never brings about the restoration and hope. Usually what people do is they leave. And you hurt them more. Judgment should always be about restoration and hope. But we compare it to those people who flat out, honestly, love to hurt people. We all know someone like that. They actually think that hurting people is their spiritual gift. It's what they do, man. And Zephaniah is saying, no, that's not, that cannot be the goal of judgment. It's not the case ever with God's judgment. Like a perfect parent, he tells us when we're wrong and wants us to grow from it. Not just shrug our shoulders and say, "That's it, and I'm done, and I'm not going to grow." You know, the goal in correcting Serenity and Freddie is never to say, hopefully, for them never to look at me and shrug their shoulders and say, "Okay, Dad, but I'm just going to go about doing what you just told me not to do." Yet sometimes when God speaks into our heart through Zephaniah or through a scripture passage in the Gospel of John or the scripture passage in the Gospel of Matthew, that's exactly what we do. At least I do sometimes. I read that scripture passage and it attacks a situation in my life, and God says to me, "You need to deal with this situation. You need to work out this situation. You need to grow from this situation." And I have a choice at that moment. I can tell God to go fly a kite nicely and say, "I'm not going to grow from it." Or I can grow from the situation. But here's the last untruth. The last untruth, they believed the answer was money. Look at verse 18 with me. "Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath." It was a common practice back in that day in Israel and in other nations. What would happen is someone would come upon them and they would be attacking them. And so what would happen is they would pay off the attackers. They would say, "Okay, you're coming in." It would be like America going and attacking another country, and that country comes back and says, "How much money do you want to stop the attack?" And God knows this. And so Zephaniah starts off on this in verse 18, and he says, listen, you are not going to pay off God from stopping all of this that I'm telling you is going to happen. Your money isn't going to save you from this judgment. It isn't going to do it. And so you may think, "Well, I got this extra cash in my savings account, and I'll just offer God this much money, and God will let me go." Not going to happen. One commentator says this: God can be a jealous husband refusing his people to fall into idolatry and in essence commit spiritual adultery on him. So what the picture here is of God being that husband who says, "I am not going to allow my wife to fall to commit idolatry. I'm not going to allow her to go and just have relations with anyone. And I refuse to allow that to happen. And what God is saying in this scripture passage is that when we do that, when that doesn't happen, or when that does happen, spiritual adultery happens. If God just says, listen, go and do whatever you want to do, we all can go out and commit spiritual adultery on him every day, and there's not a payment for it. And so in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18, God gets right to the point, and he says, yes, my friends, it's that serious. That when you're doing all these things that it talks about in Zephaniah 1, when you've walked away from the Lord, when you've been disloyal, when you've done all of these things, it's like committing spiritual adultery. You've done it. But the truth of the matter is found in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 13. And here's what that says. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. One commentator states this about this scripture passage. God's jealousy, when offended, issued in justice. It's issued in justice. But when stirred by his grace, it results in his eternal love. And so when Isaiah chapter 42 talks about the love of the Lord or the battle being over, it's not a judgment of justice. It's a judgment of his eternal love for each one of us. And again, it goes back to the fact that Zephaniah's whole judgment is not to hurt people. It is to show God is a love of hope and restoration. And they need to wake up and heed the call. I'm not saying today, and I want this to be abundantly clear, especially for those tuning in, that we're facing God's judgment. I'm not saying that at all. I know there are those out there that are saying that. What I am saying is we are facing a great time, a very crucial time to look in the mirror. To look at Zephaniah chapter 1 and say, how am I doing? Has this crisis, pandemic, brought me closer or farther? How am I doing? Remembering how quickly we can believe the lies of worshiping whoever, whenever, or the lie of God isn't doing anything. Remember back in verse 12, Zephaniah says there are those that sat in the nation and said, this has nothing to do with God. He doesn't do anything good or bad. Or maybe the lie that money will solve all of our problems and solve the judgment of God on our lives. You see, these are lies that are very real today. You can have all the money in the bank and it's not going to solve your spiritual problems. God's ultimate goal is to never leave us feeling hurt, but to bring about hope and restoration. You'll see that more and more as we move through the book of Zephaniah together. And especially in chapter 3, Zephaniah kind of turns a corner. But remember, verse 12 is the major judgment of the entire book. And in verse 12, he says, there are people that are out there that are like wine presses. They just sit and they're complacent on their prosperity and they're complacent on their finances and they're complacent on their homes and they're complacent on their cars and they do not give the God of the universe the glory for giving them everything. And then he goes on, Zephaniah, and he says to the nation, God's going to wipe them out. He's given warnings. He's gave more than one warning. And so today, the take home from this Zephaniah chapter 1 sermon is basically over the next week, I want you to kind of, not physically, but spiritually look in the mirror. Have I drawn closer to God? Have I gone farther away? Do I put all my trust in God or do I put all my trust in my bank account? Do I put all my trust in God or do I put my trust in other things that in essence become my gods? And those are some crucial questions that you can ask yourself throughout the week. Not because I want you to be scared of what God's judgment is, but because God ultimately says these words through Zephaniah to bring restoration and hope to your world. And that's the goal of Zephaniah. That's why this sermon series is called Hope Remains. The world could be falling apart, and it is. Hope remains. But if your hope's in all of these things, sure doesn't look like it's remaining. But if your hope is in what Christ did for you, you have all the hope in the world. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this message from Zephaniah. It's a powerful message. It's one that we don't hear much because it's easier to just not even, sometimes it's easier just to not even look at it. Just put it away and not deal with it. But Lord, that would be very detrimental to our spiritual growth. And so, Lord, in this book of judgment, may we also find hope that the judgment is not just an ending judgment saying this is who you're going to be always and you're never going to change and so you're doomed. But that on that Lord's day, because we heard these words, on that Lord's day, on that day when you call us to be with you, those of us that believe in your name, may we be found faithful. May we be found not to have walked away from your faith, our faith in you. May we not be found committing spiritual adultery. May we not be found putting our trust and our faith into things instead of into you. Lord, this is an easier preached and spoken word than it is lived out. Specifically in the times that we're living right now. And so, Lord, I do pray for each and every person that hears this message today, that they don't walk away discouraged because maybe their world is falling apart. And it's okay. Help them to be real with you. Help them to present to you their heart's desires. And Lord, may we all look to you and you alone for our hope and our security. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.